Okay, we're beginning at the top of Hey Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Mishnah we just quoted in the Gemara. Mishalshim b'mamon v'mishalshim b'makot. So when it comes to Edim Zomimim, they're found to be Edim Zomimim. When it comes to monetary matters, they split the amount of money owed to the victim here, who the person they had testified against, they divide amongst them the amount of money that they have to compensate him. On the other hand, by makot, they don't divide it up. Each one gets the same number of makot that they intended for the victim. They come and testify that he owes 200 zuz. They split it amongst them. So the word mishalshim could either be from the word mishalesh, which means to break into thirds, and we're talking about three edim here, or the word mishalshalim can be it's a more of a general term. It's not necessarily referring to three edim, but rather mishalshalim means that we break it down or that we split it amongst the parties. So it's not doesn't have to literally be three edim, but rather it could mean to split it up. Rashi on Gimel Amud Aleph actually talks about this mishalshalim, and he says im shlosha edim heim or ba'a mishalshalim b'neihem b'din. As in shlish b'neihem. So basically it becomes like a trustee. A shlish b'neihem, a third party that exchanges the money from between them, for piron, ish lefi chelko. Or the other possibility, mishal shalim, is what we said before, is that it's an actual split. There's shlosh edim, and they're splitting mishal shalim. So there's two ways Rashi explains what this means. So okay, it's a yidu shuchayev ha-chavir ma'atim zuvitz, it's a mim mishal shalim b'neihem. Avim yidu shuchayev malkot, Arbaim, if they said he was chayav for whatever law that he violated, that he's chayav for the malkot, in two zomimim, klachad v'chedol k'arbaim, then each one of them gets zomimim, gets 40. Where it says, v'nahan emili, how do you know this? Nemar rasha b'chayve malkiot, v'nemar rasha b'chayve mitot beitin. It says rasha when it comes to malkiot, v'haya im bin hakot ha-rasha. By chayve mitot beitin, it also says the word rasha, so you have Rasha by Mita, and you have Rasha by Malkot. Malahalan and Mita lemechza. By Mita, you can't kill halfway. You can only kill. Killing only happens in its entirety. So to over here, Avkan and Malkot lemechza. You don't get Malkot half-heartedly. Oh, very good. So it's interesting that you would have thought that here, but Rava is actually the author of the opinion. Rava on Daf Yud in Sanhedrin is the author of the opinion that Malkot em tchilat mita, or ke'en mita. And yet he disagrees over here with Abaye's position. He's about to disagree. So I read it first. I said, oh, Abaye, this sounds exactly what you were suggesting, which is that Malkot ke'en mita. But it's Rava who says it, and Rava disagrees with Abaye's position over here. So it can't be exactly that idea or that concept. So Rav Amar Bi'inan Kasher Zamam Lasot Le'achiv. You need Kasher Zamam Veleka, and there isn't. I mean, that they wanted to cause bodily harm to this individual. The only way to give them Kasher Zamam is to cause them the bodily harm. So Yachi Mamon Ami. What about Mamon? So Mamon Mitztaref Malkot Lo Mitztaref. Money can be added together, but Malkot can't be added together. I mean, that when we're talking about the damage, the physical harm they want to cause to someone, the only way to replicate that physical harm is to give them the exact same number of malkot that they would have gotten. If you split it between them, you don't, in the cumulative, create the same physical harm. Because each individual, for instance, if he got 10 malkot versus 40 malkot, 10 malkot, even if you give each one of them 10, it will not add up to the bodily harm of the person who gets 10 plus another 30 on top of that. So that way you have to give the malkot to each one of them. On the other hand, money, they want to cause them a monetary loss. Doesn't matter. The monetary loss is just a cumulative effect of the monies. If they all get together and they give him the money, then they've compensated him for that loss. Right, the next Mishnah. Ein ha'edim nasim zomimim ad she'azimu et atzmam. That edim cannot become edim zomimim until they are mezim et atzmam. Here does not literally mean themselves, but that the hazama refers to the edim themselves. Ketzad. Amru me'edim anu b'ishploni sharagat ha'nefesh. We specify this person killed. Then Amrulahem, instead of Edim come, hey chatem Edim. How could you say such a thing? Shari Niragze or Haregze Hayaimanu Oto Ayom, that the victim or the murderer was with us on that day, Bimakomplani, in such a place. So you can't be telling the truth because either the murderer or the victim were with us, And therefore, right, they have an alibi. He has an alibi, he was with us. Then they're not considered Ein Elu Zomimim. Those aren't Edim Zomimim. Because there they're talking about the Balei Din and not the Edim. That's what it means, Mi'atzmam. Mi'atzmam means if they're talking about the Edim themselves. Have you testified about such a thing? Because you were with us on that day when you were testifying about the murder, and therefore you weren't present. So how could it be? Then, that is Edim Zomim. Edim Zomim, again, directed against the Edim themselves, that you could not be present, not about the Balei Din or what they are testifying about. And then they are killed based on this testimony. So this is a case where this one set of Edim comes along and is Mizim. The first set of Edim are there. Then all of a sudden a new set of Edim show up to testify in the case. And these same Edim are Mizim them. And they say, no, how could it be? Imanu Edim. Third set of Edim shows up in Beis Din. And that same set of Edim says, no, Imanu Edim. You were with us. Fourth, fifth, sixth, they all show up, and the same cat of Edim keeps saying, none of you are kosher Edim, because you were all with us on that day. So what happens in this case? So, Yargu, according to the Tanakhama, Kulam Yargu, that in this case, they all get put to death. That's the din of Edim Zomimim, it's a Gzerat HaKatuv, and we don't pay attention to any logical arguments over here. So that's it for case, if they are Baruchim Zimum, Baruchim Zimum, Afilu Meya, Kulam Yargu. Even up to 100, they all get killed. Yudomer, Istatitizu. This is an evil plot. It's clear from the circumstantial evidence that they are planning on being Mezim, every set of Edim that shows up here. It seems very unlikely that they are actually correct, or they could be saying such a thing. Ve'eno, Ne'rag, Elekatri Shona Belvad. Only the first set of Edim gets put to death. And the Gemara asks, why? Why does any cat of Edim get put to death? Where do we know this from? So, where do we know what? Where do we know the fact that they have to testify against the Edim themselves? And that is because Amar Rav Adar Amar Kra, Vinei Eid Sheker Haid. Right, so that's the beginning of the, in the Parshat Edim Zomimim. It says, Berdashua Shoftim Eitei, Vinei Eid Sheker Haid. Sheker Ana Be'achiv. So what does that mean? Eid Sheker Haid. Sheker Ana Be'achiv. Ashi Tishaker Gufa shel edut, until the gufa shel edut is found, or until they find wanting or lying the gufa shel edut, the edim themselves. I mean, it's an issue about the edim. So that's edsheker ha'ed, sheker, or ha'ed sheker. Tebei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, lanot bo sarah. It says, ki yekum ed chamas b'ish lanot bo sarah. And so this person, ed chamas, this false witness, comes to testify to a person, individual, lanot bo sarah, to cause him some sort of, right, damage, or that shouldn't happen to him. Meaning they're saying something that shouldn't otherwise happen to him is going to happen to him. So, ad shetisra gufa shel edut. Again, until the edut itself is found to be wanting, or the edim themselves are found to be wanting. So, Amar Rava, bo shnayim vamru b'mizrach bira harag ploni et nefesh. On the eastern side of this building, it's whether it was a palace or a tower, right? This person killed someone. Weren't you on the western side of the tower with us? Chazinon, if when you're standing on the western side, right, you can see from the western side, bira mechze chazil mizrach bira, you can see over to the eastern side. So if on the western side, you can see to the eastern side of the palace or this large building. They're not a problem because you can, both of them are true. You're with us on the western side, but they could have witnessed the murder that was on the eastern side. If not, then they're zomimim because you've taken them out of the place of where the murder is. It says, pshito. I mean, why do you have to tell me that? Of course, that sounds very logical. So he says, madutema lechush lenora bario. Maybe we should worry about excellent eyesight. Maybe we can't see from this location. But maybe they can see from this location. Maybe they have, you know, x-ray vision. Maybe they have super vision, better eyesight than we do. Maybe we should consider that fact. But says, mashallah, we don't. We assume they have normal sight. If they have normal sight, if they're standing on the western side of the building, they're not going to see what's on the eastern side of the building.
So it's happening over here, beyond the building on the west side, where there was a clear path of vision, or you can have windows, even where the building was obstructing. In that case, the court, when they come to evaluate the vision, you know, whether or not there was visibility, it could be that their vision isn't as good as the ADM.
Here, I think they're talking about unusual vision where we would be, like, not that, okay, if someone had better vision, they'd be able to see it, but not something here that sounds like it's an extreme.
We have a couple of letters, right? Very far from one end to the other.
Right. You'll see here the next case, you'll see what type of extreme they're talking about, and then you'll say, all right, it's Amar Rav Boshnaim, Amru, Bisura, Bitsafra, Bichad, Bishab, Toharok. Sura, in the morning, Sunday morning, in Sura, that we saw that we witnessed, Arav Ploni at Hanefesh, we witnessed the murder. On the Sunday afternoon, you were with us in Narada. If you could take, if it's a day's, you know, from the morning to the afternoon, you could be between, make it between these two cities. Then, if not, then there are Zomamim. Shita again. We'll worry about a flying camel. Or a, you know, super fast transportation. That's one that we don't consider that type of possibility. So I'm saying, though, when they're talking about it, like an aura value, they're talking about an extreme, like this flying camel, something that would not be considered, it would not be in the realm of possibility or consideration. Maybe in the remotest possibilities. There is such a thing, we don't worry about those types of remote possibilities. Vamarava. Vayushnaim Vamru, Bechabishabta Ragponi at the Nafesh, that it came on Sunday, somebody murdered. You were with us on Sunday. Ella, but you are right. Betray Shabda Ragponi at the Nefesh. It's true he did murder this individual, but he did it on Monday. Vlod, Ella Afila Amru, Erev Shabbat Ragponi at the Nefesh. Or even if these Adim come along and say, you couldn't testify him but on Sunday because you were with us. But he did murder him on Friday, meaning before. Neharagim, the Adim Zomimim over here are put to death. Ariel Neharagim. Because when they testify about this individual, he has no death penalty associated with him. Because he has yet to be brought to trial. There's no death penalty associated with him. Micah Mashmalan.
What does that mean?
All right, that's a good question. Micah Mashmalan. Right, what does that teach us? Tanina. Right, we have a mission that already says that. Fichach im nimtzeit echat mehem zomamot. Hu vehei neragim. If one of them is found to be Zomimim, they are killed along with the victim. And the second one is Patur. So the case over here, you have a case of Edim Zomimim. They come along and they say that, first of all, or some case that seems similar, which is that you could have the victim be killed and also the Edim Zomimim be killed. And that you could have a case where there's a death penalty for this victim and yet Edim Zomimim are still killed. So you see that there's no relationship between the fact that there was truth told here, or the victim is going to die anyway, and the fact that Edim Zomimim are chayav. So when it says seifa, ma'ashe ein kein b'gmar din, that is not true when it comes to the gmar din, it's trichale. That's what we need it for. Whereas it being ma'ashe ein kein, when it comes to the Edim, Edei gmar din, that's not the truth. That's not the same case. Why? Damalei bo shnaim v'amru b'chad b'shabta nigmar din o shel ploni. That's how two Edim come along and say, on Sunday, this person was handed his sentence. Right? The court came to his conclusion and they handed him a sentence on Sunday that he'd be put to death. So then, Avoshnaim, two come along, Amru, Chabshabta, Imanu, Haitim. How can you testify about this conclusion to the din? You were with us on Sunday. Elabe Erev Shabbat, Nigdar, Dinosho, Ploni. But on Erev Shabbos, you are right. Enol Chanami, on Erev Shabbos, the court had sentenced this individual to death. Below, Elafi Amru betray b'shabta. Even on Monday, the day after they testified, Nigmar Dino Shaploni, Ein Elu Neharagim. They are not put to death. The Be'idna Dekam Asade, Gabra Bar Kataluhu. Because at the time that they are testifying already, the person was already sentenced to a death sentence. He's a death sentence, he's a dead man walking. V'chein L'inyan Teshlumei Knas. Same is true for a Knas. So, Tzvi asks, what's going on here? What's the story? So now you have two cases the Gemara raises. A person who did kill, but is yet to be sentenced to death. In that case, if the Edim come along and testify, they are considered Edim Zomim, they'll be put to death, because they're talking about someone who is not Chayav Mita. And if they're testifying about somebody who's already passed through the Gemara Din, which passed the Gemara Din already, if they testified him, they're testifying about a dead man. Doesn't mean a dead man, then they're not going to be put to death, assuming that their information is correct. And that's what the other Edim verified. So now, if you look at Rashi, it's towards the bottom of the Rashi over here. It's the last narrow line in Rashi. It says, Upe Rusho. Mishum Davi Motzer, the Matzi Lemiftar Navshei Behoda'a. So when it comes to Knas, why is the din by Knas that they are also, Paturim? Because by Knas, since he could have admitted to the fact that he was Chayav the Knas, and if he admitted to the fact that he was Chayav the Knas, he'd be Poter himself. He would free himself. Why? Because Modeh B'Knas is Patur. When they forecome, therefore, when they come and testify against him, they remove that opportunity from him. From what? They remove the opportunity for him to be Modeh B'Knas in the Yeh Patur. Then is, if they come and testify about so-and-so is Chayav Knas, and then other Edim come and say, you couldn't have testified, you were with us. But, and you are right, that he is Chayav Knas. But over there, we say that the Edim will have to pay, the Edomim will have to pay the Knas. Why would they have to pay the Knas? Because they did something, they took away a right of the individual, which is that until this point in time, he could have admitted to the Knas, and he would have been Patur. As soon as these Edim came along, they locked him in, and now he can't do that anymore. So even though that they're right in the end, that he is Chayav the Knas, but they prevented him from being able to be Modeh B'Knas as Patur. For that reason, they're going to be Chayav for the Knas. Rashi says, it's an unbelievable thing, Rashi says, and the same thing's true by Mita. Rashi says, V'ilu ava'ate emote havi miftar by Misa. A person comes along and admits that they murdered, they're patur from the mita.
Really?
That's a good question, really. I don't know where Rashi got it from, and Tosfos is wondering the same thing, which is that... Right, that's exactly what Tosfos says. Every capital crime, you're going to go out, a person comes in, you'll go, oh, I did it, and I'll be patur. Right, it's unbelievable what Rashi says it here, and I don't know, again, he says it in the... It's a Rashi earlier on. Rashi says, oh, if you're modeh b'knas, you're patur. Your motive in mita, you're patur. Your motive in mamon, chayav. So that'll be the din. By mita and by knas, the edim zomim are going to be chayav. By mamon, they won't be chayavim. Because their motive in mamon is chayav and not patur. That's the way Rashi explains our sugi here. Knas mita, since the perpetrator of the crime, in these cases, if they admit to it, will be patur. If the edim zomim come along and testify, even though they're right, about what they're testifying about, they're still considered to be culpable because they prevent him from being puter himself. On the other hand, when it comes to mamon, when they testify and it's the truth, he'd be chayav anyway. And since he's chayav anyway, they're not doing anything and his hoda'a will do nothing over here. That's the way Rashi learns the sugya. Tosafot says no. He says, first of all, I mean, obviously he asked the question in Rashi. Where did Rashi get such a thing? Look at the Beidna Dasa Asade, Aidim Bala Bakatalahu, Perishakuntish, Mishum Davi Modim Iftar, Veno Vira, the Zelo Matsino. Where do we ever find some? Imtein Kochaive Mito Beidin Yacholo Tot Belief Toratzman. Exactly what you just said, David. There's no end to this. This makes it that nobody would ever be brought to court and sentenced. Everybody would go, you would jump to admit that you did the crime because it would solve your problem. You'd never be brought to judgment on such a thing. So therefore, Tosfos explains that it's a issue of percentages over here, which is that La Bar Talahu is because before Gemar Din, there's no guarantee that an individual will be found to be Chayav. Why? Because there are a lot of things that can go wrong in a capital case. So first of all, Shema Lo Yavo Edim. Maybe no Edim will show up. Then, even if Edim show up, who says that their Eduot will be Kayam? And then, all of these, number three is, that if the, you're not allowed to kill, even though a murderer, you're not allowed to kill him until we know that there's been a Gemar Din. You have to have at least the sentencing of the individual. You're not free to kill the individual, except for the Gol Adam. Nobody's free to kill this individual, so you have to wait for a Gemar Din. And, number four is, we know by the Dinei Nefashot, we go out of our way to try to make sure that the person, you know, we look for all his kuyot possible. So therefore, it also says there's a high likelihood that this person will not be brought to, you know, he will not be executed. Put it this way, there's a high likelihood that he will not be executed. So therefore, when the Edim Zomim come and testify against him, even though in the end he was, other Edim come and say that he is a murderer, nevertheless, we say that these Edim Zomim that came are still considered Zomim because they went against the odds. The odds are, even if they were right, nevertheless, he probably wouldn't have been put to death. The fact that they're testifying they should be put to death, right, that makes them chayav. And the same thing by Knas. And then Tosfos says, about Vadai in your Mamon, though. But in Mamon, that's not the case. Mamon have very karov the Vadai, she avo edim v'edu. And why is that? Because Tosfos says that by edot Mamon, it's a karov the Vadai that edim will show up and testify about what happened over here. Because first of all, by edot Mamon, the standard is much lower. And number two is it's much easier to find edim to monetary matters than it is to find edim to cases of murder. So therefore, aval beidut nefashot v'ina drisha v'chakira az vaday amrina v'kodum v'mardin lav habari chuyub. So Tosfos says by knas and by murder, the likelihood of finding edim and the likelihood of an actual conclusion being brought in the case, a verdict being brought against him in the case are low. Therefore, when edim come and testify against him, they're doing something, even though they're giving true, what they're saying is true in the end, not what exactly what they're saying, but what they're saying about this individual is true, he is a murderer, or he is chayav kenas. Nevertheless, they are going to be chayav because they're upping the percentage that this will actually go through, or they were actually trying to change that fact, and therefore they'll be chayav. By mamon, it's a very high percentage that other edim will show up, or this issue will be solved properly, and therefore, it's not considered to be a case where there will be chayav. They didn't say maybe that case will be patur. So far we have Rashi. Rashi says it all has to do with modiv knas and modiv mita is patur. Tosfos says it's a technical issue. It's totally technical. If you're talking about murder, if you're talking about knas, those are areas where the likelihood of a verdict are lower. By mamon, where it's a high likelihood that we'll actually get to the right conclusion, there, they didn't say maybe patur. I'll offer you a third possibility. And as soon as you read Tosfos, why did Tosfos do this? You could have come up with a much better explanation. And then you see that after I saw that, Rabbi Akiva Eiger asked the exact same thing on Tosfos. And that is, there's a big difference between monetary obligations and kenas and murder. When it comes to kenas and murder, we have a general principle as innocent until proven guilty. A person is not a murderer or anything that has to do with bringing someone on criminal charges. A person with criminal charges is not a criminal until the charges are actually substantiated. Until there's a verdict in the case, a person is not a murderer. They're brought to trial to see if they are a murderer. They are not a murderer until they're actually conclusion to the trial, same thing with a knas. By mamon, that's not the case. By mamon, there's an objective fact, whether you're chayav the mamon or you're not chayav the mamon. Either you did borrow the money or you didn't borrow the money. Coming to court is just trying to enforce the collection of that. But coming to court is not what makes the monetary obligation. The monetary obligation exists. The only question now is, can you get it out of him? So that's what Bazin tries to help you with. That's not true by murder, not true by knas. There's not an automatic obligation, there's not an automatic fact that you're a murderer. You have to be brought to trial in order to be a murderer. And that would be the big difference between the cases. Edim Zomim that come to testify against...
He doesn't have
I mean that he won't necessarily be killed for that.
Status
of a murderer, exactly. He might be a murderer, but he won't be chayav mita until the court actually finds him guilty of the crime. So you can't say that. So that's a big difference. Now, based on that, it's very easy to understand the Gemara. I think that's the most. First of all, it's a much more fundamental difference between them, right? Versus Tosfos, which is a technical difference, and Rashi, which is questionable only because it is modi b'mita, is patur. Here, this is a fundamental difference between murder and knas versus mamon. They're different types of cases. In one case, there is a pre-existing obligation by mamon. In the other, there's no pre-existing obligation. The obligation is created by the trial itself, by the conclusion of the trial. So based on that, agents only come to testify against fines or knas or murder, they will be put to death because they are now doing something. They're not testifying about a dead man. They're testifying as somebody who's being brought to trial. They're testifying as somebody who could be found to be a dead man, but they are coming before that fact. But mamon, when they come and testify, they're testifying as somebody who is obligated. It doesn't matter that the edim only come afterwards, that there's no gemar din yet. He's obligated to pay the money. They're testifying as somebody's obligated money. They haven't caused him any loss. They're just telling, they're talking about something that's true, and therefore they haven't caused him a loss. All right, now, Gemara says, Bo shnayim, Rav b'chav shabta ganav b'tavach umachar. On Sunday, he stole it, he shechted it, or umachar, he didn't sell it, but either he shechted it or he sold it. And that means that he'd be chayav, right, arba b'chamisha here. Bo shnayim, Rav b'chav shabta imanu yitem, el b'chav shabta ganav b'tavach umachar. So there, you're right that it actually happened, but it happened on Monday, and you were with us on Sunday, so you can't be testifying about this. So that mishalmim, that they have to pay up for it. V'lo'od, elo afila amru be'erem shabbat, ganav tavachu machar, v'shomim, and even if it happened, predated them, meaning that he actually did the maise before they come and testify on Sunday. Nevertheless, they still have to pay up in that time, to be inya, to come asade gavra, La bar tashlumimu. Right, so when they, the time that they're testifying, this individual is not chayav in the knas. Because again, it's the same thing as murder. But here they are, right, we're talking about arba v'chamisha. Arba v'chamisha is not about the true value of what was stolen over here. It's a knas that is imposed on the individual for stealing and then doing tficha and mechira. Right. Ba'u shnayim v'amru b'chabashav t'ganav t'vachu machar ben nigmar dino. On the other hand, if it's a Gemar Din they're talking about, you can't testify about the Gemar Din on that day. You can't testify the sentence because you were with us on Sunday. But it happened on Erev Shabbos. And you're right, he was sentenced in that case. So even if you say that it happened right on Monday, nevertheless, and betray b'shabto nigmar dino, what happened there? In mishalmim, they don't have to pay. To be idna to kamasade gavre bar tashlumimu, because the point they come, it's already after Monday. So it's after Monday, and they're testifying about Sunday he had a gmar din, but already on Monday he had a gmar din now. So again, the same as murder here, this is the gmar is giving the equivalent case of knas, which is that if he's in trial, meaning that if he was found guilty already, and he was given a sentence, then when they come and testify, they're not causing him any loss. Because once based in paskins that you're chayav the knas becomes a monetary matter now, becomes a monetary obligation. It's no longer a knas anymore. Once based says you're chayav this knas, you are now monetarily obligated. It becomes like any chiyuv mamon. So when they come and testify about him, they're not causing him any loss. On the other hand, if he's yet to have a conclusion to his trial, you're not chayav in a knas till based makes you chayav. I mean, first of all, like Rashi says, you can be motive knas, you can get out of it. And number two is, just like by murder, murder and knas are not automatic obligations. There are obligations that are imposed by the court, the sentencing of the court. So if you're testifying before the sentencing, you're making him chayav when he wasn't otherwise chayav, and then you're going to have to pay up the knas. All right. So now the Gemara continues over here. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, istatit hizu. This is like some sort of evil plot that the Edim are coming and they're being mezim every set of Edim that shows up. So that's what you were, David, you were bothered by the fact, why should any of them die? If we consider them to be false witnesses, or they're questionable in their authenticity, then why are we lying to kill anybody? So they were already killed. I mean, the first city of them already put to death, and then they continue to do this prank or whatever it is, they keep the boy being all Edim. There we can't retract the fact that they killed the first set of Edim. So Gemara says, what type of situation? What's the Mishnah saying? Of course. What do you mean the first Edim are killed? They're dead already. What do you mean they're killed? That doesn't fit into the Lashon of the Mishnah. Ela amar rav achi kamar im eina ela kat achat nereged iikatvei einaragim. It's only one kat, then that kat is put to death. If there are multiple kitot that are brought here, then they are not put to death. Gemara says,
which is also the first.
Right, even the first, right. But it doesn't fit into Lashon HaMishnah. That's what I was about to say. Ha bilvad kamar. Wait a minute. It says that everybody's put to the veil, because everybody's free, or not put to except the El Kat Rishonah bilvad, by themselves. So by themselves means there are others there. So you can't. Rabbi's explanation is, oh, there are two different cases. One case by themselves, they get killed. When they're not by themselves, they don't get killed. But the case in the Mishnah says bilvad, they themselves are killed. If they themselves are killed, it means that others are not killed. So if that's the case, it doesn't fit into the Lashon HaMishnah. The Gemara says, Kasha. Leaves it as a problem. The Gemara has no real explanation for this in the Mishnah, except for Rava's explanation. But Rava's explanation doesn't really read well into the Mishnah. All right. Hai itata. Da'atai sadai vishtakur. This woman brought Edim to her benefit for, testifying on her behalf. And they were found to be liars. Atai sadai. She brings a second set of Edim vishtakur, and they were found to be liars as well. She brings a third set of Edim, but not found to be liars. Alright, she is already muchzaket to bring false witnesses. And even though we can't find anything wrong with these witnesses, we're not going to accept them because this woman already has a questionable case over here because we know she keeps bringing false witnesses. True, she might be muchzaket to bring false witnesses. But who says that all Klai Yisrael are willing participants in such a plot or ploy? I mean, who says that all Jews will come along and agree to be false witnesses? Maybe these witnesses are telling the truth. Right? Nobody else has a chazaka. Nobody in Klaus has a chazaka to come and lie in court. So when they come and testify, why aren't they believed on their own merits? Forget about her merit. They should be believed on their own merits. So Zimnim Abayotve Kamid Rabbi Yochanan. At another time, Rish Lakish was sitting in front of Rabbi Yochanan. And this exact case came before them. And Amar Rish Lakish, Rakhish said his opinion again, Huksakazu. So Rabbi Yochanan gives the same opinion that this woman is already Mukhzekiah to bring Edim Sheker, or Edut Sheker, and therefore even these last set of Edim, we can't find to be false, nevertheless we discard them or we disregard them because of this woman's status. And Rabbi Yochanan responds to him, Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan, Im Huksakazu, Kol Yisomi Huksuku. If this woman is mukhzeket as a shakran, doesn't mean all Jews are mukhzekot to be, right, considered shakranim or to agree to bring false testimony. So, Rabbi Leishakish turned around. Hadar chazi l'Rabbi Elazar b'yishut. He gives a dirty look at Rabbi Elazar. Why? The Rabbi Elazar. Amalei shmat milei mi bar nafcho. You heard something from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Nafcho, right, the nickname for Rabbi Yochanan. V'lo amardi mishmei. And you didn't say over in his name? So Rabbi Shlokish realized that when Rabbi Elazar disagreed with Shlokish above, it wasn't because that was Rabbi Elazar's opinion. It was because he had heard it from Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Shlokish was upset that Rabbi Elazar challenged him and didn't tell him that the statement was from Ibn Yochanan. He didn't say it over b'shem omro. So lema Reish Lakish d'amar k'Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yochanan amar k'Rabbanan. Let's just say their machlokes between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan is exactly machlokes in our Mishnah about when you have one set of edim that is being mezim et kol edim. So when they're mezim, so do you believe them or not? Rabbi Yehuda says istatiti. This is a joke. Can't be that they're mezim all edim, and therefore what? We throw them out. Even though they might be telling the truth about one of them, we throw them out. On the other hand, the Rabbanan say, no, we believe them. We believe these Edim. So that maybe that's a machlokis, that Reish Lakish will hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Yochanan Mark, Rabbanan. It says, Amalcha Reish Lakish anadam re'elicha afilu Rabbanan. I can even hold like the Rabbanan. Al kam lo kam re Rabbanan hotam deleka kam hader. Right? There's nobody looking for Edim. I mean that there's no party. These Edim showed up, but they're not going around. It's not they have a Baal Din that's going around looking and trying to hire false witnesses. Right? These witnesses, there's one set of Edim that showed up, and they're doing all this by themselves on their own volition. So over there, maybe the Chachamim would agree when they're doing it. Right? When they do it of their own volition, that's when we say they're believed. But if there's a Baal Din, this woman is bringing in false witnesses, she keeps showing up with these witnesses, then we say, we're not going to believe her. She's running around trying to get together all these witnesses. There, we're going to say, there's somebody who's actively trying to hire false witnesses. There, we'll say, like Reish Lakish, that she's not believed, or they deem that are not believed anymore. I can even explain my position according to Rabbi Yehuda. It just doesn't seem realistic that these Edim, everybody was at a big party with these individuals. They had a Sunday afternoon party and everybody was with them and nobody could be, every set of Edim that shows up, you were with us on Sunday, you were with us on Sunday. How's that possible? There seems to be, it's circumstantial evidence that it shouldn't be true. Over here, you're talking about different parties, the different sets of Edim showing up. These Edim didn't know the Edut, and the other Edim do. The fact that one set of Edim is speaking falsely doesn't even have any implications, right, for another set of Edim that show up. They're independent parties. If they're independent parties, one could be telling the truth and one could be lying. We can't impose because one's lying on the other that is telling the truth. Right, Mishnah. Ain't Edim zomimim ne'ergim ad shigmar adin, yigmar adin. Till the din is finished, the Edim zomimim cannot be put there. Until he is actually killed. So the Tzdukim believe that it's not Kashir Zaman, but rather Kashir Asah, in a sense meaning that you actually have to cause whatever, you have to have the victim be subjected to whatever punishment is necessary in order for you to have to pay. And the Chamim say, no, it's only Ad Shigmar Adin. All you need is a sentence handed down, a verdict handed down, but not the fact that he's actually killed. Shinemar, because it says in the Pasuk, and here the Mishnah seems to be, the Girs is wrong, it seems to be quoting the wrong Pasuk, they're quoting the Pasuk from Mishpatim, which is Nefesh Tachat Nefesh, but the Pasuk that's found by Edim Zomimim is Nefesh B'Nefesh. By here it says, V'Nisharim Yishmu V'Yirao V'Lo Yisifu Od L'Asot K'Davar Ra'Zebik Yirbecha V'Lo Tachos Einecha Nefesh B'Nefesh Ayin ba'ayin, shein b'shein, yad b'yad, regel b'rogel. So that's what the Gemara is quoting over here, because it says, nefesh b'nefesh. What does it mean, nefesh b'nefesh? So, amru lahem chachamim, alo kfar nemar, it already says, asitim lo, kasher zamam lasul de'achiv. You have to do what you plan to do, his friend. Bare achiv kayam. And there it sounds like, when you go, lasul achiv means that his brother is still around, the victim is still here. Achiv sounds like he's here, and he's still around. Vinkein, lamanar nefesh b'nefesh. From the moment they come and testify, they would already be classified as possibly being Edim Zomimim. If someone comes along and testifies against them, Yargu, Tamalomar, Nefesh, Bin Nefesh. No, it has to be that they caused loss of life. Ha, in Aragim, and Shigmar Din. So how do you balance between these two issues? You have to see, we have him Sitom Lo, Kashir Zamam Lasot Achiv. Achiv indicates that the victim is alive. You also have Nefesh Bin Nefesh, which means that he's dead, or he's facing a death penalty. So how do you get to a balance between the victim being alive, but yet he's dead? That's after the Gemara Din. After the Gemara Din, after the verdict is handed down, and once the verdict is handed down, then we have a dead man, but he's still alive. That's what we're looking for, a dead man who's still alive. That's nefesh b'nefesh, but achiv. On the other hand, the stukim wanted to be nefesh b'nefesh literally, which means that the victim has to be dead in order for you to be, or Edim Zomim to be found Zomimim. Tana b'ribi, Omer, lo hargu neragim. If they were yet to be put to death, and they were not executed, then the Edim Zomimim are killed. Hargu, if they were already killed, if the victim or hargo, they killed, the victim was killed, ein neragim, they are not killed. So that's asher zamam, they planned, velo kasher asa. Not like they actually did. Amar Abiv, his father says to him, b'nei, lav kal v'chomerhu? Why isn't this a kal v'chomer? Right? Amar lo, limatanu rabbeinu. Rabbeinu, you taught us, I don't know if this is his father or someone else, Rabbeinu taught us, shein onshin min adin. You can't give a punishment from a kal v'chomer. Eino chanami, from a logical standpoint, if they're put to death for trying to kill someone, then certainly if they kill them, they should be put to death. The kal v'chomer, from a logical standpoint, stands. But we have a rule that you can't punish somebody based on a kal v'chomer. Titanya, because it says in a Braita, so take us a little bit back to Sanhedrin about Arayot, ish asher yikach et achoto bat aviv o bat imo. Person who it takes an erva, his sister, that is the daughter of his father, or his sister that's the daughter of his mother, in the other bat aviv, shlo bat imo, bat imo, shlo bat aviv. But the pasuk gives bat aviv o bat imo, a sister that is either a sister from one parent, either from the mother or the father. She's your sister from one of the two parents. Ah, what about a sister who is both bat aviv and bat imo? Or bat imo shelo bat aviv? Bat imo ubat aviv minayin? How do I know if she's a sister from both parents? Minayin tamalomar ervat achoto gila. You have a separate pasuk to teach you about a sister. Ad shelo yomar yeshli bedin. I could have learned that from a kal v'chomer. If a sister from one parent is considered an erva, then a sister from two parents certainly is considered an erva. Why do I need to have a separate puzzle teach me about a sister from both parents? Because ein onchin min adin. Im anash al bat aviv, shlo bat imo, bat imo shlo bat aviv batimo koshukein, halamato shein onchin min adin. That's the conclusion here, that you can't punish through a logical argument, through a kal v'chomer. It says, onesh shamanu, you took care of the punishment. Azhara minayin. How do we know that an azhara cannot be learned through a kal v'chomer? Tamud lomar, ervot achot bat avicha ubat imecha, ein li'ala bat aviv shelo bat imo. So you're talking about your sister, who's bat avicha, the daughter of your father, ubat imecha, the daughter of your mother. Same thing, only through one parent. Ein li'ala bat aviv shelo bat imo. She's your sister through your father. Oh, the other way around, which is bat imo, or sister through your mother, but she's not shlo bat aviv, but it's not through your father. Bat aviv ubat imo. How do I know when she's a sister through both parents? Minayin? Tamalomar vat bat eshet avicha moledet avicha achot chayi. Another pasuk for achotcha, which is a full-fledged achot. Ad shelo yomar, so you would not say yeshli min adin. I could have learned this from a kal v'chomer. May muzara bat imo shlo bat aviv. Here we know already a sister through a mother. Obat aviv shlo bat imo, and we know a sister through a father. That's not from the mother. Bat aviv bat imo koshkein. Certainly, it should be show hadamato she'ein mazirin min adin. So here we learn that you can't give an azhara, cannot be generated through a din, through a kal v'chomer. So Gemara says, now we're talking about, those are capital punishments. Those are issues of capital punishments. Chayve malkot malkiot minayin. How do we know by malkot the same thing applies? Tamaloma rasha, rasha. That was the gezeirah shavah that we learned today at the beginning of the daf. Which is that by a murderer, it says, loti chu kofer le nefesh rotzeach asher hu rasha lamut. And by malkot, it says, vaya in bin hakot harasha. So you have rasha, rasha. So we have a gezeirah shavah. Chayvi galiot minayin. How do we know that's true by someone who has given the chayvi galiot? Atya rotzeach, rotzeach. Because here in the Parshat Asay, the term rotzeach is used both by a murderer b'mezid and a murderer by shogeg. So therefore we have again a gzeirah shavah between them. So that gzeirah shavah teaches us that we don't do a din hazama until there's a gmar din. And if it's kasher asa already, we don't put them to death. That we find out. How we know that by Chayvi Malkiot and Chayvi Galiot? That we know from these Gzeirot Shavot. The Gzeirot Shavah of Rasha Rasha or the Gzeirot Shavah of Rotzeach Rotzeach. Rashi asks an interesting question. He says, wait, why do I need it by Chayvi Galiot? What is the punishment for Edim Zomimim that tried to put somebody into Galut? What's their punishment? Malkot. You just burnt out Malkot from Rasha Rasha. So why do I need a separate limud by Chayve Galiot? If I already have the limud for Chayve Malkiot. The punishment for Eden Zomim by Chayve Galiot is Malkiot. So the Rashi answers that's not the case, because La Midin Kasher Zamam Kamit Rabu. Lo Ati Malkot to do Migzer Shava the Rasha Rasha. Because they don't get Malkot because of Kasher Zamam. Da'yofina Eli Dim Zomim Shir Shiva Nidon Lokot. Because Kasher Zamam only applies to people who get exactly what they tried to give. That's talking about someone who actually got a punishment, or got the victim was going to get malkot. So Rashi says there's a difference between someone who's going to get malkot because they wanted to give someone else malkot. That's kasher zamam lasod le'achiv, and that's talking about someone who actually deserved malkot. There you're going to have rasha rasha. But by chayvei galiot, it's not that they tried to give malkot and we're giving them kasher zamam malkot. No, that's the alternative. When there is no kasher zamam, we give them malkiot. So those malkiot are not being given to them because it's kasher zamam. They're being given to them because there is no kasher zamam. Since there is no kasher zamam, therefore, because there's a miut by galiot that we learned earlier, right, on the first daf, is a miut for galiot, therefore they get malkot. So that malkot needs a separate limud of rotzeach rotzeach to teach us that it's only after the gemar din, right, and we can't, it's also only kasher zamam, but no kasher asa. Right now, there was a case here, Tanya. Amr Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai, Ere ben Echama, takes some sort of shvuah, right, Rashi gives different possibilities, right, Ere ben Echama, I mean, all my, I will see the death of all my children, if this is not true, or, I will, lo Ere ben Echama, I will not see any comfort, meaning that it's, and the Gemara changed around to a positive statement, Ere ben Echama, im lo erak de Eid Zomeim, lo tzimi li ban shel tzukim, I killed an Eid Zomeim, who has reached a Gemar Din, but it was not killed yet. I did it, and I showed it to Tukim that they're wrong. So, how you don't? Because they believe that it's only after the death of the victim is there the Eidim Zomim are brought to trial, or they're going to be killed. And over here was a case where he reached the Gemar Din, but he was not killed, and I put him to death. You murdered Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai. What did you do wrong? So that's what he said. He said, well, who did he put, what does it say here? He's put to death an eid zomim in the singular. Shari amru chachamim ein eidim zomim ne'argim ad shizumu shneihem. Until both of them are found to be eidim zomim, ve'en lokim ad shizumu shneihem, and they're not lokim until both of them are found to be guilty. You put to death an eid zomim in the singular. He took one of the eidim who was found to be a zomim, and he put him to death. So he went against the Mishnah. Miyad kibel alav Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai shenu moreh halacha or moreh hora'ah alifnei Shimon ben Shetach. So right away Yehuda says, I'm not going to pass any more halachot unless Rabbi Shimon ben Shetach is there to correct me, to make set me straight. V'chol yomav shel Yehuda ben Tabai yamishtatech al kibro shel oto ha'ed. In the whole lifetime, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tabai used to go and cry at the grave of this aid that he had put to death incorrectly, to ask him for mechila, to get kapara. And everybody, every night they used to hear his voice, or in the daytime when they couldn't see, they heard a voice emanating from that kever. People had thought it was actually the victim, the one who he had killed, whose voice was coming out. See, Amar, Yehuda ben Tabai says, Koli shalihu, it's my voice. Teidu, the machar, who mate, meaning he's talking about himself, I'm going to die one day, and you'll see, the day after I die, you won't hear the voice anymore. Ain kolonishma, and that's what happened. You know, he passed away, and no longer did he hear the voice. Samalei Rav Acha Brei the Rava, the Ravashi Dilma Bedina Kambade Inami Piusei Faise. Who says that it was the reason that that's proof? The fact that there is no voice the day after Yehuda ben Dabai passes away doesn't prove that he was the one that was crying over there. And it wasn't the victim who was crying. Why? Because maybe Yehuda ben Dabai passed away, and he came up to Shemayim, and he was Mephayesim, he appeased him, and he calmed him down, so he stopped crying. Or, Rabbi Yehuda ben Dabai was brought to din over killing this individual. And once he was brought to din, the individual was quieted now. The victim was quieted. So the fact that there's no voice heard on the day after Yehuda ben Dabai's death is not proof. Or at least, right, it's not evidence that Yehuda ben Dabai was the one who was crying all along, but rather it's a possibility that it was the victim that was crying all along. And the reason it stopped is now Yehuda ben Dabai is upstairs and they're dealing with him upstairs. They're dealing with him in Shemayim. All right, so I think we're going to step over here. The next Mishnah goes all the way into tomorrow's daf. It's basically the whole sugi of tomorrow's daf. It's a Mishnah that we've seen before, which is Al Pi Shnayim Edim Shlosha Edim, which is the different opinions. We've seen it in a number of cases, so we'll do the whole Mishnah tomorrow, so that'll flow through to the Gemara tomorrow. Okay, we'll stop over here.